Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 10th. And we are talking about Big Brother Canada 6. I am here on a Saturday with Liana Boris. How are you doing, Liana?
I'm good. It feels like forever since we've talked Big Brother, but I'm happy to be back. I'm all about the season so far. I know I've only seen a little bit of it, but the house is so tacky. The nomination ceremony is so tacky. I just love everything. And I'm here to update on all the shenanigans that happened yesterday.
Yes, it was our second day of feeds, maybe our first real day of feeds. And lots to unpack, lots of information going on here. We're learning a lot of things. There's still a lot of things that we're kind of in the dark about. But there was a lot of stuff that happened. Ryan is our HOH, and he had individual talks with basically every single person in the house. And then there was a house meeting. The gatecrashers got involved. There was some silliness, some rapping. So lots and lots of stuff going on today. And we're going to get into all of it. And we're going to tell you everything that happened. It'll be great. Well, you're going to love it. I promise. To start off the day, as I mentioned, Ryan decides he wants to talk to everyone individually. And I have to say, I normally kind of like this as long as you're able to not come off like you're a king sitting in a throne. Being able to get a good grasp of where people stand while you have power over them is usually a good idea. You have to make sure you're not coming off as like, oh, please tell me how things are going as I pet my evil cat. You got to be careful, Liana.
Yeah, well, thankfully there aren't palm fronds in this house. So he was like, oh, fan me, feed me grapes. No, it's interesting because I think there were a lot of people that I saw on social media talking about Ryan sort of having this HOH-itis, but I didn't necessarily get that sense. And I don't think that the house guests got that sense either from talking to him. Ryan talks a lot and repeats himself a lot. So it was frustrating to sort of watch these conversations over and over and over again. But I think as far as how he's being perceived in the house, I don't think that we're getting this sort of evil mastermind dictator, type deal.
Yeah, he's not doing too poorly here. Overall, first he talks with Jesse, and when he talks to Jesse, he brings up most of the points that he's going to be talking about with everyone. That mostly being, he wants to know, who are you going to target in 4 weeks? Because as everyone knows, and as this always happens in Big Brother, the next 4 weeks are going to be taken up. They're already set in stone. Nothing is ever going to change. Mm-mm. It's going to be Andrew, the two gatecrashers, and then Hamza. And then we're going to start targeting other people. So I need to know from you, who are you going to start targeting after we target all of the people that are definitely going to go in that order? And to his credit, he got some answers from a lot of people. Jesse talked about the girls in particular, Olivia, Maddie, Erica. He's in particular worried about Erica because Erica can rally the girls. Jesse, this is sort of Jesse's go-to, especially with the guys that aren't a part of his actual guy alliance, is just be careful of the girls. You never know what's happening with the girls. I don't think he actually is worried about them, but it seems to work for him.
Yeah. Okay. Is this Survivor Ghost Island? There's this like haunting of the threat of the all female alliance. And it's funny because Ryan said that so many times yesterday of, well, you know, I'm okay with a guy going home, but as long as the women, you know, don't outnumber the men, you know, which it's like, okay, first of all, like what has given you the inclination that there is a female alliance or the possibility for a female alliance or something that would shake out in this way? So I don't know if I think it's just, I don't know if it's a tactic of, you know, the sort of fear of what could be or if there's actually some thought behind it. At this moment, I think it's just talk for talk's sake and doesn't actually mean anything, but we'll see how it unfolds.
Yes. Another part of what Ryan wants to talk to people about is that he has this idea that maybe, just maybe, And then eventually he starts talking about this is definitely happening. There's going to be some sort of back door. And, you know, maybe we don't need to get out Andrew. Maybe we don't need to get out Hamza. Maybe there's another option. Who do you think that other option could be or should be? And that starts to come out as the day progresses. It goes from this inkling of an idea to this is definitely happening.
Yeah, so we're trying to essentially suss out, one, what's going on with the social dynamics and who's, you know, who's paired with who, who's aligned with who, and then also trying to figure out Ryan's plan. And it feels like these two things are very nebulous, but sort of happening and converging at the same time. So, you know, you had Maddie yesterday pushing Olivia as the target. And then Ryan starts doing his quote unquote time machine question, where he asks everybody what's their plan 5 weeks from now, which is ridiculous in and of itself. And a couple people started throwing out Olivia's name. And I think that then it sort of became more and more concrete that a backdoor plan is something that Ryan could do, and is something he seems interested in. I'm still trying to get a sense of how serious he is about this, but he has definitely had some conversations where he really does seem to be leaning towards trying to throw the veto to either Andrew or Hamza and then put up Olivia. Now, whether or not he has the votes to take her out, that I don't know, but it does seem like he seems to be moving in that direction as far as a replacement nomination.
Yes, and I will say what he's saying often sounds a little dumb in terms of who are you targeting after 4 weeks? You know, he's talking to, we'll talk more about some of the dumb things that he's saying. However, I want to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, right? He is talking to people. He's trying to portray a certain image, I'm hoping at least. When he's asking people, who would you target after 4 weeks? What he's ultimately getting from them is, who can I target right now that you'd be okay with? And just by getting them to say a name, it is sort of opening the door for him to be able to say, okay, well, what if, you know, what if that person was up on the block post veto? What if something happened? So it's actually kind of working in his favor here. I think not too many people would be upset if the veto was used and Olivia went up on the block. Even the people that, you know, like, I don't think anyone would be surprised at the very least. He's gone from this idea of, oh, well, if you don't target Andrew, then you're the next target, to it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, well, and it's funny because he did get a lot of flack from us observers when he put up Andrew and Hamza. So we were like, why are you putting up people who would work with you or who would theoretically be aligned with you? And so I don't know if this Olivia plan is sort of his big mastermind idea to do what you're saying, to try to really understand, okay, I want to try and keep these people safe. So who else would be a house target that I could try to get rid of while keeping, you know, two people who I could work with safe? He kind of put himself in that mess. So he's maybe trying to get himself out. I don't know. You know, I'm trying to understand from his perspective. He does know the game. How much forethought he's putting into this Olivia plan, you know, whether or not the time machine question was an idea of who I'm going to target now or who can I target now. But he does seem to be forward thinking. One problem, though, that I do see with Ryan is that he talks so much and he doesn't really listen, apart from, you know, the couple of names that he hears, and then he'll start spitting more stuff out. So, you know, I think he's playing okay, but it's going to be interesting to see where he goes from here.
Yes. So to continue his talk with Jesse, he even mentions that, you know, if things do stay the same, if it comes to it, I actually think that Andrew is less of a threat than Hamza. I think that Hamza, he's more low key. I think he can settle in more. I think Hamza's more of a threat. So we may also see him pushing for Hamza to leave over Andrew if it comes to that.
It's because he's such a comp beast.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is that this is a little out of order, but Hamza keeps running around saying that he's like such a beast in competitions and he's going to win this veto. It's like, I know this is a small sample size, but you're 0-2. So I don't know what kind of comp beast you think you are.
In my mind, I've already won it. Yeah. It's already mine. So next up, he talks to Derek, and Derek tells him, I'm concerned about Maddie. I think Maddie is a bit of a floater. And I'm also definitely scared of Erica because she's so pro woman. Gotta be scared of those women.
Yes. Well, you know, it was International Women's Day 2 days ago. So just stick with it, bro, dudes. Although, you know what? Honestly, that comment is coming from someone who has his name tattooed on his arm. So I like to think that Derek has like his address also. So in case he gets lost, he can just be like, this is where I live. So I don't know. I have a hard time taking Derek seriously.
He was the one too preseason that was all about like, no, I'm super respectful and like I, you know, I love women and you know, that's, I feel like that's how it goes. So he also talks about his showmance with Kayla. According to him, they haven't even kissed yet. It's just a sort of flirtation that's, you know, becoming more and more something else. You know,
he calls it a showmance though, right?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure he did.
Showmance. Yeah. So I don't, you know, he's probably not the most accustomed to the Big Brother lingo. He doesn't know that you need to consummate showmances in order for them to be real.
Is that the rule? Because I'm learning that also then. You gotta consummate.
Yeah.
Oh God. Great. That's uncomfortable. Yeah.
So that was his conversation with Derek. Then Will is up next. He talks to Will about again, who would you target? Will mentions Olivia. This is the first real, like, yes, Olivia, that's the one I was looking for. And he also mentions Allie and Erica. Again, Erica getting brought up a lot, especially by these guys. He says, Ryan asks him, would you be willing to vote Olivia out if she was up on the block? And Will says, yeah, sure. That's I'm totally cool with that. And so Ryan's like, awesome. That's my plan, dude. That's what I'm going to do. Isn't that cool?
You can see him visibly light up when Will's like eating cereal or something. And he's like, yeah, yeah. But I don't know. I can't really understand anything he says. But I assume he said yes, he would vote her out. And Ryan gets excited. He's like, mad respect, bro. It's like, stop saying mad respect. But yeah, I think that was the first indication that that was Ryan's plan. He was, you know, was wanting to put up Olivia and send her home.
Yes, and we have some breaking news. Liana, you apparently look beautiful, according to Kirsten in the Facebook chat.
Oh, Kirsten!
Yes.
Love you, bae.
So we have, next up was Allie, who really just kind of stonewalled Ryan in terms of giving him any information. Wouldn't really tell him who she would want to target. They did talk about some things like, oh, we could totally work together, but I think this is all fluff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't really get much from this conversation as far as tangible, you know, game moves moving forward.
Yes. So the have-nots were then chosen. Derek, Hamza, Jesse, and Erica are our have-nots for the week. And I believe, was it Allie or was it Kayla? I can't remember who. Somebody was like, thank you for not choosing me to be a have-not. And Ryan was like, yeah, I just figured Erica would like handle it better.
Oh man, I don't think I caught that, but I love their reaction to the moat thing in the catacomb room. So the have not room is essentially this tomb casket thing, which Jesse sleeps on, which is hilarious. And it's like in the middle of this like gooey moat, but they're talking about how it's sort of slimy. So that's going to get gross real quick.
Yeah, it's and then apparently I saw them talking a little bit this morning. It's apparently very cold in there.
Oh my gosh, it was so funny. So Derek, he does the thing where he is like wearing a hoodie, but he pulls his arms in. So he's just making this like, and he's wearing pink. It was so cute. But yeah, no, but speaking of the have nots, so Jesse sleeps on this tomb, which is in the middle of this moat.
The altar.
Yeah, he's like, it looks like there's going to be a sacrifice. He's going to be sacrificed to the Big Brother gods, and that's how his game ends. It was terrifying. I was worried he was going to roll off. I was thinking, like, we got to get him some, you know, some of those, like, walls for the side of the tomb. Maybe he could sleep in it, because it does open. I don't know. I feel bad for the guy.
I feel like part of the have-not experience should be that once a night, somebody dressed in robes carrying a ceremonial dagger like walks into the have not room and just stands over the sleeping person for a little while. And if they wake up, then that's unfortunate for them. But if they don't, then they just go away.
Yeah, that's terrifying. That's actually the new twist. It's the crossover with Ghost Island. There's some sacrificial stuff going on.
Seriously,
fake daggers.
So you're talking about giving us power in the game? Give us power to instruct somebody in the house to have to do that every night. I feel like that would be amazing.
Okay, I'm a little terrified, Taryn, that these are your suggestions for twists.
Those are my kind of twists.
Bring someone in with a knife.
you guys haven't seen anything yet. You think I complain about these? I would have the best twists. Nobody would complain about my twists.
If all the twists have the best twists, yes, well, great. As long as they involve daggers, I'm sure that Big Brother would be fine. Although apparently they don't really care about the house guest safety, because I'm telling you, that tomb rolling over, hitting his head, that's a safety hazard. Or falling into the gross moat.
Falling
we
into
don't know
the
what's
goo.
In. Yeah, exactly.
Drown in goo.
Yeah, I guess the dagger isn't as bad if you think about it that way.
Yeah. So the guys also have a quick conversation. Derek, Jesse, and Will, they liked their conversation with Ryan. They feel like he's a good dude. Good solid dude, right? He's a bro.
And mad respect.
Yeah, and they want to consider bringing him in to a sort of fake Final Four. Like, you're totally with us, dude. Like, you're totally cool. But not really.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't really understand the point of this. You know, I guess it was okay. You know, we need to, because he's HOH, we need to make sure we're on his good side for now. I don't know. It seemed like a lot of talk without a lot of outcomes also.
Yes. And just a couple of things about like fake alliances is that people, you know, people often are criticize somebody for being involved in a fake alliance, and it's certainly not the best look. But being in a fake alliance with somebody is a hell of a lot better than being in not an alliance with somebody. So this was a good thing for Ryan while it lasted. So Ryan continues his talks. He talks to Kayla, and this is again. He's talked to Kayla. I love your showmans. I want to work with you guys. And here's why. I think you're a huge target, and that's great for me. If you keep winning competitions, you're going to be an even bigger target. And you know what? You're probably going to turn on each other at some point. So that's going to be great. All showmanses turn on each other by the end of the game. And this is where I feel like he has to be faking this, right? Like, he has to be saying this thinking, this makes me sound dumb. This is blatantly false. But maybe it gives them some sort of comfort in the idea that, like, I'm dumb enough to work with them. And not necessarily that he's dumb, but like, they know that I'm a smart guy. They know that I would have to have good reason to want to work with the showmans. Here are my reasons, because I think you're going to turn on each other, because all showmanses turn on each other. So that gives them the opportunity to go, well, all we need to do is not turn on each other, and his master stroke is, it doesn't work. So, you know, I'm trying.
Yeah. Okay. I think you're trying to say Ryan is playing some weird version of 4D chess. You know, he's like, okay, so they
it's
think I'm
that,
really
it's not that complicated.
I guess. I mean, I think that, you know, Ryan is worried about coming off as really smart. So I guess, yeah, if he's trying to sort of play dumb this way.
I would say, like, if I knew I was working with a showmans, I would absolutely say to them that I definitely wouldn't do it the same way that he did.
Yeah, like, what?
Well, you're going to turn on each other. But I would try to form a bond with each, with at least one of them, and be like, so like, we're totally like, I would pretend that I believed that they would cut the other person for me, so that they thought that they had me in their control.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if that's what he's trying to convey, that, look, you know, you're in charge kind of deal. I really want to work with you. I really like you. I mean, I guess that could be where he's coming from. But it wasn't necessarily convinced that that was the case.
No, I'm not either. I'm just okay. I'm spitballing here.
You're just pontificating, just like Ryan did. Well, Ryan does do this weird thing where he explains people's games to them. Like, that was an example of that. It was like, you know, showmances turn on each other, blah, blah, blah. Let me tell, like, you're a threat. You're coming across this way. It's very bizarre. I don't know why he's explaining other people's games to them.
He's just trying to help them out.
Oh, he's such a nice guy.
Yeah. He also talks to Paris, and I thought Paris handled this conversation really well. She talked about targeting Olivia. She also talked about Allie and Erica again. She was mostly focused on Erica. She thinks Erica is a big threat. She thinks that a lot of people listen to what Erica says, and people like Olivia and Johnny end up just repeating Erica's ideas. However, I think it became clear to her that Ryan was really focused on Olivia as the main target. So she was able to sort of shift her focus and say, yeah, yeah, Olivia, that's a great choice. I would totally vote out Olivia with you. That's totally cool.
Yeah, I was really impressed with Paris in this conversation because, you know, as Paris is sort of testing the waters of how do you feel about Erica and Allie, it was immediately clear that Ryan was saying, oh, Olivia is the smartest of the three, which I don't quite know where that comes from. But, you know, that's what he was saying. He was really fixated on Olivia, and Paris immediately changes gears and, you know, realizes that trying to sell Erica or Allie is a lost cause. And so Olivia, which Paris doesn't seem to be aligned with, you know, she'll go along with that plan potentially, or at least appease Ryan, the HOH, in that moment.
Yes. Then he talks to Olivia herself, and Olivia mentions Maddie as her target. And that's sort of the whole impetus for this whole thing was that conversation that I talked to Puya about that Ryan had with Maddie last night. Maddie got to Ryan first before anyone else, and she really got under his skin. She got him to turn the spotlight on to Olivia. Olivia is Maddie's target. If Olivia goes home this week, it is 100% due to Maddie's work, and it will 100% lie on Ryan's feet. So very impressive work from Maddie in that regard, and clearly Olivia is the right target for Maddie, considering Olivia is targeting Maddie more aggressively than anyone else in the house. Good stuff from Maddie.
Yeah, Maddie has been really impressing me. I honestly was a little down on her coming into this season, but she was the one who originally planted the seeds to target Olivia. She's working closely with Paris and Will, and seems to sort of also through them, you know, be pushing this Olivia target, but not doing it in a way that is, you know, so overt. It's subtle enough that she actually might be accomplishing her goal, which is getting Olivia out of the house. So if she does go, yeah, I completely agree. I think that Maddie deserves a lot of the credit for this move.
Yes. So then Ryan talks with Johnny and following Johnny, Erica. And this is where he got a lot of his goals accomplished without coming off too aggressively. And he was right there. He was right at the finish line. And I feel like he kind of trips up here. This is when he has been talking, like revealing too much information, but this is when it starts to come back to bite him. He talks to Johnny and he gives Johnny a warning because Johnny has the, intelligence to ask Ryan, how do people see me? And Ryan is like, whoa, I have that information. I can look smart in front of you. This is how people see you. They think that Erica is collecting people and that you're one of the people that she has collected and that you are, you and Olivia and Erica, you're this tight thing. And Johnny's like, oh boy, that's not good.
Yeah, this again goes back to Ryan telling people what their games are. I don't know if this was Ryan just trying to, you know, showboat of, oh, I've collected this information here. Let me show with you, you know, let me show you what I know that you don't know, because I really didn't understand the point of it. I mean, maybe if he was trying to make sure that the target was on Olivia and off of Erica, I mean, I guess maybe that could be a reason behind it. But otherwise, you know, I was trying to decide, okay, what exactly is his reasoning for this? And I couldn't come up with anything solid.
I really think it's just like he feels like he has a decent relationship with most of the people in the house, and he is used to feeling like the smart person that can give advice to people that are close to him or that are friends with him. So he is like, look, I know what's best for you, and I'm going to let you know that this is what people are saying because I'm in the know and you're not. I really feel like this is just pure hubris on his part. There's no reason to help Johnny or Erica. Even if you are aligned with them, there's no reason to help them. It's better that people are targeting them and not you. And if best case scenario, they actually take the advice and, you know, do something to change the fact that people see them as a target, then now there's more of a target on you and less on them. That's the best case. And the worst case scenario is he also tells Erica that people are worried that she is collecting people and that that she's connected to Olivia and Johnny. And then Erica goes and starts talking to other people and starts trying to actively get that perception off of her in a very obvious way, which lets everyone know that, hey, Ryan must have told Johnny and Erica about what we said about her and Johnny. Not good for Ryan.
Yeah, no, it's not. He's like Ginger Santa, just giving out all the gifts to the people in the house. I really don't understand it. And it's funny also because if Big Brother is about information and you possess information, you want to use it to your advantage, right? Okay, so he has this extra information and he just tells him. He then doesn't, you know, really make any solid alliances with anybody trying to actually use this information for good for him. So that's what's kind of bizarre about the whole thing is like, okay, so you know this about people, then actually try to get an alliance going with some of these people. You know, he's sort of, you know, tentatively aligned with certain people, but there's nothing really set in stone. So while he is using this HOH week to get a sense of where everybody stands in the house, he's also changing things by telling people information and then also not getting any solid alliance out of this as well. So, you know, whether or not there are still going to be other targets in the house, since we know that the next 4 weeks are already taken care of, obviously nothing will ever change that. You know, maybe when we get to week 5, we'll see, you know, whether or not he's actually able to find a solid alliance in the house.
Yeah, and I don't want to say this was a complete waste, because I do think he did come close to, you know, getting these guys to pull him in at least a little bit. He made some headway in some different areas, but he also really dropped the ball in other areas. He eventually tells Andrew and Hamza that they will be going up on the block, but don't worry, there's a plan to save you. There will be a back door. Everything's covered. You just have to trust me, which is always what people want to hear when they're being told that they're put on the block.
Yeah, exactly. The generic just trust me, because I can't remember if he, because he didn't tell Andrew and Hamza about his Olivia backdoor plan. At least he didn't tell them.
He told them that he had a backdoor plan in play, but not who it was. I believe Hamza said, as long as it's not Erica or Will or John, I don't know, something along those lines, I'm cool. And he was, it's not one of those people. And so then Hamza and Andrew go off and they spend the rest of the day like Adele and Pop and Paul together as a comedy duo. And they speculate about who this is going to be. They're like, oh, it's totally going to be like Allie, or it's going to be, I don't even know who. They speculated a lot, but they were wrong most of the time.
Yeah, they're also a walking disaster. They're really funny. And, you know, it's interesting because Andrew is rubbing people the wrong way. But the people are still a little bit more threatened by Hamza. I don't know. It's really interesting to see where these two stand in the house, because it seems like they don't really have connections with anybody, but they're not like super outright hated, you know, where the target could potentially slip to Olivia. It's not like you have somebody who is completely ostracized from the rest of the group, but they're definitely not doing themselves any favors by just hanging out as this like duo on the block together. We're just going to hang out and talk about Plur's nipple rings. So it's not really helping.
Yes. And then finally, the last piece that he talked to everyone about when he was having his conversations and then a bit afterward as well, is that Ryan has a plan of how to deal with the gate crashers. He wants to call them out in front of everyone. Get it everything out in the open. And here's the reason, because the lie was obvious. I think we all knew this. It was the dumbest lie I think we have heard in a while. It was never going to work. None of them believed it in any way. It was kind of awkward to be like, oh yeah, sure, you totally were just pulled out of the audience. But what Ryan says is that he wants to make sure nobody is able to blackmail them and use them for their own nefarious purposes with this lie. And instead, he just wants to get it out in the open, which I feel is a huge mistake, especially as for somebody like Ryan, who really needs the targets in the house to not be him. Like, these are great, great targets for him. Giving them an opportunity to come clean and start fresh with the whole house was just a terrible idea.
Yeah. Okay. So I went through several stages when I was thinking about this plan. The first was, oh my gosh, this is going to be so exciting, which turns out the meeting was not exciting. But then I was like, oh my gosh, you know, he's going to call him out. But then, yeah, it ended up being actually beneficial, I think, for the gatecrashers, because they were able to just sort of clear the air about, look, we can't tell you. You know, we can't tell you what's going on. We don't want to punish the house. We don't, you know, we're worried we've already said too much. But although it was really funny with Ryan trying to like logic his way and, you know, Marin, you're from Edmonton. You flew out for a 3-day trip. Why would you have a bag that big? You know, I don't know. It was really awkward and uncomfortable and really did not help Ryan at all whatsoever. Cause it's better to sort of have this unclear, okay, they could be lying. What are they lying about? It's really suspicious. We sort of clean the air and talking about everything. Yeah. It's just like you said, it sort of allows the gatecrashers to have a fresh start. And be able to then just integrate back with the house now that this lie is sort of out in the open.
Yes. So they end up having this house meeting where Ryan, he starts it off with like a task list of like grievances about like housekeeping, again, very awkwardly. And then it finally settles on, you know, hey guys, we know that you're lying. You know, we wanted to say something. And it was Humza's idea to do this before the nominations to make sure that like Ryan could see like who's going to back you up. And Jesse right away is like, this is a collective thing. Jesse's like right there to back him up. I really like Jesse's social play. I can't yet comment on his strategic play because I don't know enough about it yet. But socially, he's been doing very well. And so he's just like, yeah, so, you know, this is not true. And then Veronica kind of takes a weird tact with this, where she's saying, like, maybe it's for the benefit of everyone that we're doing this. Maybe we would all get punished if we didn't say this. And I feel like this was, what are you doing, Veronica? They eventually settled on, okay, we can't tell you. We're not allowed to tell you, which is what they should have said from the get go. Mm-hmm. And I think like it's very good that for them ultimately that they were forced to they were forced to do the best plan possible for them by Ryan and the rest of the house.
Yeah.
So
I would have liked to have seen Ryan's agenda for that meeting. It's like, one, housekeeping; two, call out gay crashers. Yeah. He's like, got it written down. He's like, all right, next on the agenda. Yeah, it was really awkward. It really did end up ultimately helping the gay crashers more. So and yeah, just going back to Jesse. So first of all, I had a really hard time figuring out which one was Jesse for a while because yes. I never saw him.
He's Locke Lamora, I'm telling you.
Yeah. And so eventually, once I figured out who he was, yes, I was impressed by his social game, the little of it that I did see. You know, I think the whole laying low, you know, but then also being willing to sort of like, yeah, suck up to the power or whatever. We'll see what else he can do. But yes, I finally figured out who he was.
Yes. So that goes well for the gatecrashers. They still trash talk the gatecrashers afterward, of course, but a lot of them are now worried, like, oh man, are they gonna start to fit in with us now? Like, that's not good. Veronica is crying afterward. Paris is comforting her. This is Paris, who hated her last night. You know, they eventually have some messing around time later in the evening, and Veronica starts to rap and freestyle. Like, I just talked to Hoodie Allen on the Taran show, and now I'm listening to Veronica on the live feeds, and it's like, is there that much of a difference? Yeah. Yeah, there is.
Yeah, like Azalea up in here. It was really funny because, yeah, her rap. So if you haven't listened, there's a clip that I know I saw floating around on Twitter. And I learned something about Jesse. He got a tattoo removed of poker chips and dice. And apparently Veronica can cook rice. So it was really informative.
Oh, man. Well, that's crazy.
I know. That by far was the most interesting thing that happened yesterday.
Yeah. So after all this goes down, Erica starts talking to Olivia, and she is now talking like, okay, Olivia, Ryan told me that people see us, multiple people see us as being in an alliance with Johnny, and that's no good. And if Johnny is avoiding you, that's why we're trying to keep this perception about like us being all tight on the down low. And Olivia's like, that makes no sense. That's impossible. I barely talk to you. Erica does, and this is again like Ryan telling Erica this. It doesn't do Ryan any good. And now Erica is suspicious of Ryan. Maybe he just said that to get a reaction from me. He's lying to me. Like, who was it that said this? Ryan would not reveal his sources. Paris, by the way, is the person mainly that had said this thing that caused Ryan to talk to Erica and Johnny. But after they get over the fact that, like, okay, well, this is annoying, this is not true, they're like, okay, well, let's just make it true then. Like, maybe we should start forming an alliance. You, me, Johnny, that's the core. Then we got Derek, Kayla, Jesse. That's the next level. They love Jesse. Jesse told Erica that if she was straight, he would date her. And if she was straight, she would date him. And that's what she told him. And they love each other. And it's all good. Jesse doing well. And then after the next level, they've got maybe also like a Paris and Will as sort of like the outsiders of that alliance that they have formed in their heads, but haven't actually made any actual motion to do anything about it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's why, although there was talk of this, it still doesn't feel necessarily concrete. Of course, you know, there's no stupid name yet, so obviously I can't talk about them completely yet.
Even Johnny doesn't know about this yet, and he's in the core.
Yeah. What was it that Ryan said about Olivia being the smartest of the three? I don't know. It's just still kind of a disaster. I'm just really worried about Jesse as part of this alliance, because if he does get sacrificed on that tomb table, they're going to be down a person. Could be a real problem.
Ryan ends up talking to Maddie after all of this to check back in, and he basically gives Maddie all of the information. Maddie is like the secret whispering voice in his ear, and he tells her, okay, so Olivia, like a lot of people are down to target Olivia. Olivia said she would target you. And also, you need to be careful of Derek, because Derek mentioned your name. He told me that you were a floater. People are kind of seeing that you're, you know, floating around, talking game, not following up. They're a little bit worried about that. Maddie then tries to correct that image of her later on in the day. It's like, just, you know, maybe we're getting Ryan all wrong. Maybe he's just there to help out. Help people out. Help their games. He's basically me if I was in the Big Brother house and not playing. I'm just commentating and telling people how they could play better.
Man, I would hope you would do a better job. But yeah, no, it's really funny.
Right. He's Brent. Sorry. He's Brent. If Brent was in the house commentating.
Shade, yes. Oh my gosh, it is really funny. That's what I'm saying. Like, Ryan does this thing where he just explains people's games to them. I should figure out when he goes pre-jury, I gotta figure out how to bring him here and have him like explain my life to me. He'll be like, no, this is why you're doing it this way, this is how you're perceived. I'm like, oh, thank you, Ryan.
maybe an exit interview question that I can have for him will be, okay, Ryan, so You're a big fan of the show. How do people view me as a podcaster, and what do you think I can be doing better?
Yeah, he's just here to give advice. Also, he sounds like Seth Rogen, and when I close my eyes. That's a thing. Anatomy. It's cool. That's all I hear. Yeah, he's a funny character. I mean, at least he's entertaining me, so I appreciate that.
Yes. All right. So Ryan also has a conversation with Marin. Marin, it doesn't really go anywhere. Marin is like, dude, I've been here for less than 24 hours. I don't know what you want from me. I don't know any of these people. I don't know. I don't want to like commit to anything. Like, you want me to join some sort of like rebel force? Like, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah. Marin is a person who is on this season. He's there. I think by just doing nothing, like, he's not made himself a target. I mean, I know that his name keeps getting thrown out, you know, because he's one of the gate crashers, but I think after, you know, once he has a couple more days, even, I think, to just get in with the other house guests, I don't think he's really in any danger anytime soon.
Yes. So Now it's time for people to take Ryan's advice. And Erica is going around and she's like, hey, guys, just casually, so you know, like, I'm not in alliance with anyone or anything. Like, I'm not tight with people or anything like that. And this, like, Jesse's ears are perked. And he's like, wait a minute. This sounds like what maybe has been told to Ryan has now gotten to Erica. And Erica is now trying to correct her image. I don't like this. Hey, Derek, come over here. Hey, Derek, I don't think we should bring Ryan into our, I don't think we should even give him a fake alliance anymore. I think we're done. I think we're good.
Yeah, good thing they didn't name the fake alliance. It lasted all of like 3 hours, if that. Yeah, oh my gosh. I love that physical motion that kind of goes with it. The like, you know, you don't really know where to put your arms. So you're like, definitely not in anything, guys. Oh my gosh, it's so awkward. Yeah, that lasted.
Puya in the chat when we were talking about Marin, he says Marin's still marinating in the house.
Yeah, he'll be done soon.
Yeah. So Ryan went from, being on the outside, winning HOH, making inroads, getting included into the guys' alliance, to giving unwanted advice, having that blow up in his face, and now the guys have prematurely rejected him before they even accepted him in the first place.
Yeah, I'm sure that happens to Ryan a lot. It was sort of like the rise and fall, this like story told in, you know, three acts all in the course of one day. And this is why I don't like watching Ryan early in the day. I was like, oh, okay, he is doing a good job. But then as I sort of now think through all of these things that he did later in the day, I was like, oh man, oh buddy, we're gonna see where this goes from here. I mean, I think if people just think of him as sort of this, I don't know. I mean, he also talked a lot about his age. So if he can sort of set himself up, you know, part of sort of this, oh, I'm just here to help kind of character, then maybe people won't think of him as a threat, especially because, you know, we're seeing the younger people sort of start to go after each other with Maddie and Olivia. So he could be okay. But, I just don't think he should have used this to really solidify something, to solidify an alliance. And that so far has not come out of this week.
Yes. So Jesse continues to talk to Derek, and it's very clear that these two in particular have a very tight bond. I think probably even more so than Will. I think Will is kind of like the person that Derek and Jesse probably talked about, like, let's bring Will in, but we're the real two. And then with Will, they were like, let's bring in Ryan, but we're the real three. So I would always be skeptical of somebody that was like, oh, let's bring this person in, but they're not really in. I'd be like, so that's your inclination.
Yeah. I mean, they're really tight. They're also have nots together. So I think that that's going to sort of, you know, strengthen that bond even further. But yeah. And poor Will, though. So he's a smoker, but wasn't allowed to smoke because they were, building the comps in the backyard. So he was going through like severe nicotine withdrawal. And so he slept for a lot of the day. So he really wasn't present in a number of conversations. But yes, he is tentatively aligned with those two.
Yes. Puya again in the chat brings up Ryan's shirt, which begs the question, what's worse, having your name tattooed on your arm or wearing a shirt of your own face?
That shirt is so bad. I have like 4 screen caps of it because I love it so much. Because it's not just, he's also making a bizarre face. Like, I gotta look at one real quick. Yeah, he's like tilting his head and he's just making some like weird smile face. His eyes are sort of bugging out. It's very bizarre. I don't know. This is clear narcissism if you're going to bother to wear a shirt with your own face on it. Although I'm not going to lie, this does kind of make me want to get a shirt with my face on it.
I have been given Taran Show shirts. I don't know if that counts. Oh. So,
well, because it's close. Sort of a graphic logo,
yeah,
right, of your face. No, this is much worse. This is clearly like a printed out iron-on,
yeah,
sort of like black and white picture of his face. No. Oh my gosh, it's so bad. I love it.
It's basically like the bear shirt, except instead of a bear, it's a literal picture of Ryan's face.
You know what? This should be a punishment costume for later in the season. You have to wear an entire outfit plastered with images of Ryan.
Yeah. So Derek and Jesse talk about their connections, their relationships, their alliances. And they really have connections with everyone. They are the center of the house at the moment, I believe, along with Kayla, who is obviously Derek's showman's partner. And they talk about the group that they kind of have, kind of want to take down to the end. I think this is a very fluid group at the moment. I don't really know how, like, the real deal plays into all of this. That hasn't really been mentioned at all. It may not even exist anymore, as far as I'm aware. But I think those relationships still stand. So they talked about them, you know, Derek, Jesse, they've got Kayla, Paris, Will, and Olivia. They also feel like Olivia is in that kind of core group. And then also maybe Johnny. They feel like they've got Johnny as well, which, okay, they've got Johnny. Wow, good for you, Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny has no idea that any of these things are going on. Like, Johnny is aligned with everyone in the house, unbeknownst to him.
Johnny apparently has been playing a good game. It's like, we didn't see it on the episodes, and I haven't seen it yet on the feeds, but he's apparently playing a really good game.
Yeah, that's what's funny, because, you know, watching that first HOH competition, I was like, Johnny, what are you doing? You know, like, why are you holding out? This looks so sketchy. Make a deal. You know, like, what is happening? But apparently, yeah, unbeknownst to all of us, he's playing a quote unquote really good game. But yeah, the real deal, I really don't think it's the real deal. And like you said, it's fluid. But that's how I feel a lot of the relationships are in the house, apart from, you know, a couple of pairs like Derek and Jesse obviously seem to be really tight, and then Kayla in there. I think Maddie and Paris are also pretty close, but as far as these larger groups, any large alliance, I think everything is still sort of being worked out and is very fluid.
Yeah, well, I think part of that is that there are I think almost every single individual, or at least every single pair of people in the house, has a larger group that exists entirely in their head. Yeah. they haven't solidified anything. So we've got Olivia and Erica, who have this big group of people that exists in their head. And we've got Derek and Jesse, who have a big group of people that exists in their head. And because, like, you know, you talk to Will is super close with Maddie, who Derek and Jesse were talking about potentially targeting. They're worried about Maddie. They think she's a floater, but Will is very close to Maddie. Will was talking about actively targeting Olivia this week with Ryan. Meanwhile, Derek and Jesse are talking about Olivia being in the core group. These people are not on the same page in any respect of the word. So it's still very open and fluid regarding what's going to happen with the layout of this house.
Ryan really needs to get in there and offer some serious advice.
Guys,
he's not doing enough.
Guys, the commentators just think you're way too fluid right now. That's the perception of you. You're seen as wishy-washy. You're seen as, you know, kind of delusional, thinking you have these big alliances that you don't have yet. So, you know, maybe you want to do something about that.
Should really make some deals, get something solidified. Yeah, maybe he could take his own advice, too. That would also be helpful.
Yes. Then we have, Ryan really just provided us with content for this podcast all day long. He has a conversation with Veronica where he says, look, Veronica, I know we called you up before. You don't have to lie to me. It's obvious to me that you're a super fan. Don't worry about it. It's totally cool. I'm a super fan too. I've been watching for 20 years. I'm not threatened by it. I'm not intimidated by it. It's totally fine. It's just, you know, it was very obvious to me, and I don't want you to have to lie to me anymore.
Oh my God. I mean, obviously I'm upset about the outcome of the whole Gay Crashers vote, but you know, it is what it is. We have to talk about it. And this conversation was so funny to me. It was because this was another situation where it was like, okay, I still don't know what I should think about Ryan. Like, are you playing a good game? Are you are you actually telling the truth? You think she's a super fan? First of all, where did that come from? How did you gauge that she was a super fan? But I love the way he says it, that he was like, no, it's okay. It's okay that I know your secret or whatever. Oh my God. It was so bad.
It's like straight out of a sitcom. It's one of those situations where like, you think they're about to, look, I know all about, and it's like, oh no, they know about the secret thing that I pulled, stole from them, and the spy plans and everything. And they're like, you're in love with so-and-so. And they're like, oh, I am in love with so-and-so.
Yes, you're
oh,
right.
My God.
Yeah, this is like something out of the opening of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Of like, you know, Ryan knows Veronica's a super fan. It's like, she is very much not. Oh my God. Yeah, I don't really know, again, what the point of this is.
And Veronica is so not a super fan that she has no idea that this is not the image that she wants. And she's like, yeah, I am a super fan. What, you know, I guess I can't hide it. It's better that they think you're clueless.
Yeah.
But she's clueless enough that she doesn't know that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, there's some weird irony here.
I don't think I've ever seen a person on Big Brother actively try to convince people that they are a super fan and that they know a lot. It's like the complete opposite of Johnny Mac. It is like, no, I know, I'm really smart, guys. Don't worry about it.
Maybe she's also playing 4D chess along with Ryan. This is just some like next level strategy we haven't even considered. Just another day on the BBC. So,
yeah. Well, that's the day for the most part. Obviously, nominations also happened yesterday. Hamza and Andrew did, in fact, go up on the block. And like I said, they had their sort of Pop and Paul Adele sort of they sat in a corner making fun of people, talking about like all the things that they'd be doing and how once they're out of the house, it's going to be so lame and boring. And they want to target Derek and Kayla, the showmans. That's the big target, big power in the house. Can't say that they're wrong, but you know, they're not going to find any support for it anytime soon.
Yeah, and they're talking about it one-on-one with each other, and then they're not doing anything to actually, you know, get that accomplished in any way. So it's very much words in the wind. So, so POV is going to be played today. We don't know, unless there was an update while we were talking, about who was chosen. The one thing that did happen is that Ryan this morning was trying to talk to everybody about throwing the veto. So he has conversations with Johnny, Erica, Jesse, Derek, all about trying to throw the veto, because it does seem that Ryan wants either Andrew or Hamza to have the veto so that he can go through with this potential backdoor plan. So that it seems like it's still in the cards for today. But we're going to have to wait and see what the outcome of the POV is.
Yes. There are a lot of different possibilities playing out. I did enjoy that. I say that Hamza and Andrew are like Pop and Paul and Adele, but they're like the self-aware versions of them, where like they're even talking like, I hope we get a montage of all this. Like they're playing into it in a way, but it is also them. It's just it's very meta.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
not,
but not
meta world
in a quitting way.
No. Yeah, it's funny. And Hamza was even saying, I think he's got a girlfriend or a fiance, and he talked to her, you know, said a line to her. He's like, I don't think I'm winning. So, you know, it's interesting because he does have this sort of delusional, I'm going to win every veto competition. But then also, yeah, they do seem to be at least aware of where they are in the house and sort of how they're being perceived. So it's kind of interesting to see a little bit of self-awareness from those two.
All right. So it's been a bit of an information packed episode of the live feed update today. Lots of stuff to unpack from this. But the final thing I want to talk about is how do we think this is going to work? If the plan goes through, if Hamza has already won the veto and he takes himself off the block and Ryan puts up Olivia in his place, will he have the votes to take Olivia out. A lot of people are thinking, no, the second he put up Hamza and Andrew, they're done. One of them is definitely gone. However, Ryan does feel like he has the votes. There is a contingent somewhere that is willing to vote out Olivia. What do you think? Where do you think the votes will lie at the end of the week if Olivia is up there?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because a lot of those conversations where Olivia's name was mentioned was in that sort of time capsule question or time machine question, where it was, you know, Will said, yeah, I'll vote her out, you know, but that was in, you know, 4 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever. So it seems that I think Ryan thinks he has the votes. I think ultimately he won't. I mean, I think that you're going to need some element of critical mass to get there. And I think that the few people who have talked about voting Olivia out, I think there's just not enough to really get that ball rolling. And who, you know, the person who remains on the block is probably going to end up going home.
Yes. Well, I think right as it stands right now, I think Ryan does not have the votes. I think that, you know, Jesse and Derek obviously see Olivia as somebody that's close to them. They would not want to vote her out. Kayla, I'm sure, would go along with that as well. So that's three against it. Obviously, Erica is close to Olivia. So that's four. Johnny apparently is close to Olivia. That would probably be five that wouldn't be voting for Erica. So the votes start to rack up. I don't believe the Gatecrashers are voting. I could be wrong about that.
I'm not sure about that. I mean, I know that they're safe, but
they talked about like, I don't know if we're able to play in the POV, and I'm pretty sure that somebody was like, no, I'm pretty sure Arissa said you aren't able to play in the POV, which would probably mean they're not able to vote. So I believe there will be 10 votes total if they're not voting. And if there's five already that are almost definitely not voting for Olivia, then that's not looking good to evict Olivia. That said, things could change. And I think things could change pretty easily, because we do have people like Will and Paris who are willing to turn on Olivia. Obviously, Maddie wants to go after Olivia. Whoever comes down from the block, Hamza or Andrew, will want to target Maddie. So there are a lot of moving pieces here. And the vote, even just right now, is a relatively close count. And with Will potentially having a different motive than Derek and Jesse, it could cause some strife there, which even if it just causes a rift between those guys, between that big core, I think that does well for Ryan. So it's, you know, whether or not Olivia goes home, this could be a decent outcome for Ryan. He could salvage something from it, even if it's not the best in the world.
Yeah, I mean, if you do end up getting at least some semblance of warring factions because of, you know, a debate, I mean, I think really worst case scenario for Ryan is that the veto doesn't get used and the nominations don't change. Because I think that there's still the potential for, you know, some backstabbing and some drama, even if the vote, you know, let's say Andrew ends up going home, still the possibility of discussion and, you know, people going behind each other's backs is still going to be in Ryan's favor. So, yeah, I don't know. It'll be fun. We'll find out where Johnny actually stands.
Yeah. Because I don't even know.
He doesn't know.
Yeah. I believe the feeds just came back, but I don't think there's anything too relevant to try and update you on. So unless there's anything else that you have, Liana, I think we're all good.
I think we're good. We talked about the most important thing today, and that was the T-shirt that Ryan wears that has his face on it.
Yes. And, you know, making the Brent Ryan connection. I think that's very important.
He'll love that.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. Make sure you tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern. We'll have even more to update you on. Hopefully a better idea of the house dynamics, better idea of what the target will be ultimately this week, what we'll be looking at with the votes, if we will have a close vote with Olivia or if it will go the way of the unanimous Rosina decision. Make sure you check out our exit interview with Rosina, by the way. We talked to her yesterday, and I believe the podcast went out last night. We had a fun conversation with her. I will be talking to the rest of the eliminated house guests as they leave. So very excited about that. Monday night after the episode, Rob will be live and we'll be recapping everything about the show. And then, of course, Tuesday we'll have the LFC roundtable and all of that goodness. So thank you again, everyone, for joining us. We will see you next time.